podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
A cartel, a closed shop, the milking of a banker-backed cash cow, and also apparently a Super League. And Liverpool Football Club's owners have put the name of our club and our city at the centre of it all. This is an Anfield Wrap special on the news that Liverpool FC is one of 12 teams proposing a new breakaway league to replace participation in UEFA competition. I'm joined by Cathy Long, Jay McKenna, Damien Kavanagh and Rob Gutman to react to the story so far. But first, I wanted to start with a quote. I hope this Super League will never happen. With the way the Champions League is now running, football as a great product, even with the Europa League. For me, the Champions League is the Super League, in which you do not always end up playing against the same teams. Of course, it is financially important, but why should we create a system where Liverpool faces Real Madrid for 10 straight years? Who wants to see that every year? That was Jürgen Klopp. I'll start with you, Cathy. Cathy, you are, of course, a Red. You've been going to match a long, long time. I've mentioned on other pods that you have done work with, what should we call them? Premier League big wigs?
Big wigs. Never saw any wigs, but yeah. Worked at the league for a long time and worked with a lot of clubs, yeah.
Start with a bit of tabloid parlance. What's your reaction to what you've heard and seen so far?
I didn't sleep last night, and I thought this morning it's because I was worried about it, and I've realised it was just because I was so angry. I think I was just too furious to sleep. What astonishes me is that so many things about it, the way they've gone about it, but in all the time I have worked with clubs and spoken to owners and all that sort of stuff, I've sat in those Premier League shareholders, I've presented to them, I've convinced them of things, I've got them to be more sensible at times, believe it or not, I've got them to actually do things like have better tickets and policies, all of that. But never met anybody who was in favour of a Super League. I never met anyone working in a club who was in favour of it, an owner. So I always really thought this isn't going to happen. And the main reason I thought it wouldn't happen is because nobody wants to watch it. You know, I was thinking about the number of owners I have spoken to and people I've met. And I work with 54 clubs over 15 years at the Premier League. And it shows you how many clubs have been promoted and relegated. Because there's that variety each year. And one of the things each year, even though, luckily for us, we've generally felt pretty sure of our Premier League status, we've known that there'll be other clubs coming into that league. I'm not defending the Champions League. You know, when it became the Champions League from the European Cup, partly because we'd won it and we loved it, you know, we didn't want the Champions League. I think there's a lot wrong and there's a lot that needs fixing about the proposals. But the idea that you can guarantee yourself that status in that competition, I mean, I desperately want us to be playing really top European football next season, but I do want us to have earned it. It's actually not just about winning, you know, it is about losing too, you know, it is about those emotions, and that's the whole point. It's sport. I get why if you're investing millions and billions into such an unpredictable product, as they call it, how challenging that is. I get all of that. And I know that it's really, really hard to sustain, but it's a sport. If you didn't want to be involved in sport and you just want to stay in business and move money around and hedge funds and all the rest of it, carry on doing that. But don't be in sport. If you want certainty, we don't want certainty. If you always know you're going to win, it's actually not that much fun, you know. It's just, I'm quite astonished that they've gone so far. I'm so embarrassed that our club has as part of this.
Yeah, that's the thing, I think, isn't it, Jay? I mean, Jay, you were involved with Spirit of Shankly, former chairman of Spirit of Shankly. You'll probably be aware of this quote. You might remember it, that John W. Henry put out after the takeover of Liverpool. He said, "We're going to do a lot of listening. We've a lot to learn and we'll walk this path together." Meaning with the fans. You obviously, as part of Spirit of Shankly, you know, helped to improve the conversation between the club, the owners and fans. And then this has come from somewhere where no fan has been consulted on this. No one's talked to the club. They haven't talked to us. It's just like they've gone, okay, well, this is where we're going with it now. And it feels like two fingers have been stuck up, doesn't it?
It is exactly that. I won't swear because I don't think they deserve my anger, to be fair. I don't think they deserve our frustration. They deserve to stay. They have undone years of hard work by the staff at LFC. to work hard to engage with supporters. They have undone the success they've helped create at LFC. They've undone all of their apologies, all of the times they've apologies for missteps and mistakes. They've undone by doing this. And they didn't speak to fans. They didn't pick the phone up to anyone at Spirit of Shankly. I'm not directly involved, but I know they haven't spoken to Spirit of Shankly. They ignored it. I got so fed up reading it. I have got Billy Hogan and John Henry's email from past involvement. I emailed them and I was just like, if you were doing this, think again. If this is a negotiating tactic, think again. And if this is a mistake, if this is untrue, come out and say so. Now, this is your opportunity, but because before this goes too far. And they didn't reply. I didn't expect them to. They never do. But you look at this and you just think, do they realise what they have done? I don't think they do. The thing that struck me most yesterday is they have said Liverpool Football Club can potentially, and depending on when this starts, realistically, and how the league goes this season, Liverpool Football Club will never win the European Cup again. Liverpool Football Club, we never get to see Jordan Henderson with his feet on the European Cup. We never get to see the next Joe Fagan sitting at the side of a pool with the European Cup. You never get to take any of your kids to Madrid or to Istanbul. The European Cup with Liverpool Football Club is done. And that is actually the success on which we are built. Never mind 19 league titles. Liverpool wanted to be the best in Britain and then the best in Europe, and they did it. They created this image of a club. They didn't commercialise it. They didn't build on the success in the 90s. But that is still what keeps them where they are. Liverpool are old money in football. And it's because of those days. And what they've just said is, we bought all of that. We bought all that past and that history and success. We've helped create some more of it. And now what we're going to do is we're going to leverage it for something else. We're going to take it in a complete other direction with no kind of what's the plan for 10 years or 20 years or 50 years' time. They have literally said, this is now ours and we're going to use it and we're going to misuse it and we're going to abuse it in the pursuit of some money. More damaging to them is that they go through with this. I still think they are, no matter what they do now, but I think they can still step back. But I just don't, as Cathy will know and others will know, Liverpool Football Club and executives in football find it very hard to go backwards. They will sometimes stop and not step over that line, but they find it very hard to go backwards. And I think yesterday's talk, before it became official, was a clear indication that they'd gone much further than they'd ever done before with this threat. And I just don't think they realise what they've done now. The anger is palpable amongst supporters. The disappointment is much bigger. And I've always said to Liverpool, in all of the conversations we've had with them when they've made mistakes like this, you shouldn't be most concerned when people are very angry. You should be most concerned when people almost shrug it off and are apathetic to it. Because there's a quote from Dan Rowan today about legacy fans and fans of the future. I think Liverpool misunderstand, particularly Liverpool, but other clubs too, will misunderstimate that the fans of the future do not want to watch a training match. They want to watch the spectacle. And I think Liverpool loses most, but not when its fans are angry, but when most of us just go, forget that. Yeah. I'm not bothering. I'm treating this as just a pastime now. You will lose the atmosphere. You will lose fans. You will lose so much more than you stand to gain from ideas such as this Super League, which is just pure and simple greed. That's all it is from Liverpool.
Damien, you're what would be classed as a legacy fan, I think.
That's the nicest way you've ever put that.
You followed in the footsteps of your old fella, or that lovely story of which we've covered before on the Anfield Wrap. And I remember you writing a long piece for the now long dead Well Read magazine, God rest the soul. And you wrote then about sort of feeling detached from the game that you once loved, being priced out, worried about being priced out totally from the game, comparing ticket prices to, when you first started going and percentage of incomes and what that is now and all this kind of thing. This feels like yet another thing where that kind of stuff will be ramped up. I mean, we only know so much about this idea so far, and we're up to where we're up to, and it will keep on developing. But I'm looking at it and I'm thinking, well, and what next then? The games get played abroad. Yeah. All of those other little ideas that we've heard floated around over the years. What kind of prices will it be to even watch it just on television, never mind actually be in the ground? And it just feels, you know, I think Jay's touching on something there. There's a tipping point for fans, I think, legacy or not. And, you know, it already feels to me that, you know, a lot of fans are clinging to the Rock face by one finger in terms of being able to go, in terms of being motivated to go, in terms of engaging with the sport.
Mm.
And it's, you know, there's quotes as well today, you know, saying, oh, well, there's this survey that shows, you know, a lot of younger fans are actually into the idea. Because it does feel very FIFA, the game, PlayStation, Xboxy, you know what I mean? Pick some teams off the shelf that you fancy being in a league with and off you go. But it's not football as me and you know it, is it, mate?
No, it's abhorrent. I'm absolutely, like everybody I know, fundamentally opposed to it. If it's, you know, you mentioned before, a two-fingered salute to us from Henry, from FSG. There's mine back, right? We were there before you. We'll be there after you. I'd like to see us go toe-to-toe over this. Enough is enough. There are many issues in football where greed is good. Culture is just being taken over inch by inch, year by year. We get divided and conquered as fans, blaming everyone else's club and this and that and the other. Now, the current owners have done some great work, made some mistakes, come back from it, but this is a pivotal moment here, and there's a long way back from here. I'm prepared to give them a chance to do it, but I'm not having any part of this. Nothing to do with it at all. And any kind of process that we can do, that we can come together as fans. And the key here is, not as Liverpool fans, here we are, you know, we're slagging our own club off, not mentioning anybody else. But where fans historically have got picked off is that they build the rival fans and say, well, that's nothing to do with us, that's all your fault. No, we all need to come together here. Now, the anger that's been apparent from everybody is there. I think there's enough groundswell for us to maybe do something. Maybe I'm a bit naive about that. I probably am. But I'd like to see us all clubbing together to come up with some meaningful thing here to say, back off. You've gone as far as you can. You've already gone too far. I'm a legacy fan. My lad's 22. He's a legacy fan. He hates the idea as well. This was my granddad's team. This is our community's team. Look at the story that's being built up. You're not just going to come in at your time of choice. And don't get me wrong, the owners, current owners, and the way it is, they've done fantastic for Liverpool. We, you know, trophies that we were dreaming of for a long time, they've delivered. They deserve to be heard, but now they need to be told. And we need to be heard, and we need to tell them, no chance, back, right, off. We don't want to be part of a closed shop. We're proud to be Liverpool. We're proud to be competing with anybody else in the world going total. We haven't got a divine right to win anything. We've got a divine right to be given a chance to compete, and everybody else has that right. It seeped in the early 90s when football was on its knees in the aftermath of Hillsborough. Which way does it go? And it took, to my opinion, a capitalist route out of it. And this is where it started. Yeah. The Premier League and the Champions League, I've got no sympathy with them, certainly none with the FA, because they have let us all down in the past. And the greed is good culture again with regard to the Premier League, for example. They didn't throw Oldham and Wimbledon out of the Premier League. They just structured it to say, you won't last very long and you'll be placed by someone who can bring us a bit more money. Now, this is even worse. This is like, you know, greed upon greed upon greed. Well, we'll close the door behind you, Ian. There's no, we've got a safety net now. We happen to be boss at this point in time. If this idea was in play 50 years ago, 20 years ago, you'd have the same reaction of greedy clubs. That's been the case, but it'd just be a different set of names. Enough really is enough. And it's not even subtle. In the past, I've thought, I know what they're doing here. What they're doing is they're just going to threaten something and they're going to use that to get the best deal out of the next version of the Champions League. Doesn't feel like that this time. It feels like they're cheeky enough to go for it and think we're naive enough to accept it. Well, we need to just be Liverpool fans again, as ever, protest about it, get them to back off. It's a sad day, this. It's a sad day, but we've got an opportunity now across the fans. You know, never mind all the lads standing outside the pub agreeing with each other, being on the WhatsApp groups, you know, lads and girls agreeing with each other about what's right and what's wrong. Let's do something. It's better to Shankly, all, you know, all the other unions, all the other supporters ones, need to come together and say, what have we all got in common? Where do we want this to land? What's good for the game? £30 tickets, allocations, a more level playing field, so we can have teams coming up and challenging in the Premier League. All that is this is the ugly end of all of that. This really is the tip of the iceberg, and we need to push it back.
Yeah, going back to your piece that you wrote all those years ago, Damien, you know, I would still say to people that it's worth digging out if you can go and find a copy of it anywhere. The blueprint for football that was created, the famous document before the Premier League started, basically said, in it, you know, we want these type of fans in the ground. You know, football will now be a middle class sport, and, you know, it will be for people with families, with money, and then they put the prices up accordingly. And yeah, okay, there was some benefits, don't get me wrong, stadiums improve and stuff like that. But I think that's a warning, what happened with that document, and then what you saw has happened with the Premier League and prices, and the way we've a lot of people have had to walk away from the game already. I think this is that again. This is another version of that. This is that on steads.
100%, absolutely correct. Yeah. So what happens is, it, at the start of the Premier League, the amount of money that was coming into the game was unimaginable. No one foreseen how much more money was going to come into the game, and then all these like the players, the agents, the clubs, the FAs, this huge cake that was made, they all got a slice of it. What did we get? You can pay more to have the same part of the cake. And we've let ourselves down as fans over the years. There's been great work by great fans, and you know, but there's too many who are apathetic. There's too many who are saying, I'm not going to agree with them. That's the Manx. That's the Scousers. I'm not going to back them up publicly. That needs to just be absolutely put to one side. This is a pivotal moment here. I feel that we could get some proper common ground and come up with something that, you know, I personally, seriously, not just on this, but the first game you're allowed to go back, I'm quite prepared to say, no chance. We'll buy the ticket because I qualify, but that seat's staying empty. And let's see who blinks first. I'm massively into that.
There's something in what you've just said there. Sorry to jump in, Gareth.
Sorry.
And you're right about the Premier League, and this has almost been coming. It's almost like a glacier rather than a train. But there's been a bit of whataboutery on the internet around this. Well, you know, Gary Neville, he works at Sky, and Sky aren't going to bid for this and stuff like that. Gary Neville saying something that's true doesn't get completely discounted just because you don't like stuff Gary Neville's doing with Salford or who he used to play for or what Sky do. The Premier League is the owners of the clubs. The clubs themselves own it. You know, the people who work at the Premier League can be hired and fired by those 20 chairmen or chairwomen in some cases now of Premier League clubs. They are, this isn't, you know, I've painted them as a bogeyman at times, but Richard Scudamore wasn't a bogeyman. Richard Scudamore wasn't doing all this on his own. He was doing this at their behest, and they sold the rights to Sky. They done all of these things, and there are lots of problems in football. There are lots of issues with FIFA and UEFA and the football clubs and financial fair play and the governance of all of these things. That is at least within some kind of democratic structure, not perfect, far from it, but within some kind of democratic structure and in some form of competition. This is the worst extreme of all of the bad bits about football. And think how you think they're bad now. That's the bit I think, you know, people are not missing, but have to appreciate. This is bad, but football isn't great. This is the worst of it all, and it's at the behest of individuals, essentially 12 individuals deciding to completely change the game of football. And even of all of the failings around the setup of the Premier League and others, it wasn't complete. It changed the pyramid, and it's had a negative impact largely, I believe. But it still, in theory, allowed that competition. This is a closed shop for essentially, well, what is in fact 12 men, 12 white men, I think, to largely run the game on behalf, you know, Florentino Perez talking about, you know, they have this, they need to do this for the global game is absolutely laughable. It's so transparent, and people need to see this for what it is in isolation, but maybe use it to fix those other things. Not saying because those other things are bad, well, we sort of just gonna have to live with this, because doing that is a slippery slope to much, much worse.
Go on, Gareth. Sorry.
I was just going to say, I've got so many questions about it, and there's so many ways this debate could go, and there's so many things to talk about. But I was just going to say, Rob, what have you got to say on it? I don't want to lead you anywhere. You've waited patiently. Go ahead, mate.
I fucking have, haven't I? Yeah. I'm going to take my time. Now, in a way, I don't know where to begin with. So many thoughts are floating around my head, and so many questions still. So in a way, I'm holding back on just how angry I'm prepared to get on this because I want to see how the cookie is going to crumble. Mm. I think I've got more serious set of observations than hard opinions on it. Obviously, I don't want it to end up where it literally looks like they're intending to end it up at the moment. That should go without saying. I think it's telling that they've done it now when fans can't be in grounds. And Damien referenced that because God help them. If we were going to be in grounds tonight or at the weekend, God help them. That would be visually, the sight of fans en masse walking out of grounds or chanting against this would be something so overwhelmingly scary, I think, to them that I wonder if it would gain any traction. So I think they've timed their run. Yeah, see, part of a season without fans and coming into a summer. I still think this, this is just a take. And although it seems really definitive the way the statements have come about, I still think this is an epic game of poker and an epic game of brinkmanship. Mm-hmm. There's been a lot of change in football that's happened by attrition. And I agree, I think Damien was saying that as fans, arguably, I think we're culpable. It was a bit harsh to say we're culpable, but I don't know if I'm a legacy fan, but I've been a lifelong Liverpool fan and my kids are now. And I've seen the game I grew up watching change. Sometimes you can view it two ways. Sometimes I think I'm still watching 22 lads kicking a ball around on a green thing and it's still the same game. And when the atmosphere is great, it doesn't feel any different to how it did in the late 70s or in the 80s. But in other ways, so much of it has been changed. When I was young, when Damien was young in the 80s, I was watching, winning the League Cup was a big thing. Winning the FA Cup was as big as winning the European Cup, more or less. Just was. Just getting to the semi-final of the FA Cup, my God. And you used to say, I can feel, you know, the players, because I could feel Wembley beneath our feet at 2-0 up at half-time. And the excitement of those competitions. And the Champions League came in, and it sort of, we had opinions of whether, didn't like change for change's sake, but we didn't really quite get that actually that competition killed domestic competition. And it didn't just kill domestic competition, it killed the UEFA Cup and it literally killed the Cup Winners' Cup. You used to go into season and there'd be three European trophies to go for. So a wide range of teams had European trophies to go for and nobody was going to diminish. Oh, you only won the Cup Winners' Cup, did you? That was a major fucking trophy to win. Oh, you only won the League Cup, did you? No, it was a decent trophy to win. You won the FA Cup? Jesus Christ, that's as big as the European Cup. There was a lot to be won then. And it got taken away from us and the erosion happened. And yeah, I think there are certain swings and roundabouts, which we have to confess. We talked about the gentrification of the game and the blueprint and all that and the increase in prices. But then the game I went to when I was particularly as a young away fan in the 80s, I took my frigging life in my hands going to football. Mm. It was genuinely dangerous to go to in terms of being the threat of physical violence. And also we didn't realise at that stage just how dangerous some of the stadia we were going to were. And we saw literal death on the back of that. So the golden age, it's a mixed bag, the golden age. And I'm not coming to any conclusions other than to say there's a wide, that change happens in football. And I'm not against change. In fact, I find change as a person, I find change exciting. This feels blunt change to me, stupid change. I think to an extent there's culpability. The governing bodies have been shite for years. And if this hadn't happened, UEFA, the level of corruption beggars belief. The fact that when they had a chance to show some teeth against Manchester City last summer, they failed. It fundamentally failed. And do you know what the football world did when they did that? They shrugged. And what's going to happen? Well, Man City are winning the league and European Cup. They shouldn't have been in the Champions League. I'm not being too parochial about this. They should have had a preseason points deduction. We know what they did. It happened in plain sight. And the reasons they got off were a technicality. The report said it was out of time. So we see that we know how corrupt FIFA are. The Qatar World Cup. Again, lots of column inches have been written about it, but it's going to frigging happen. That's an absolute aberration. And what are we doing about it? We're shrugging. Now, the problem we've got with all this is all of us sitting here find the idea of this Super League and the closed shop utterly distasteful. I think the match-going fan, if you polled them, the length and breadth of this country, find it utterly distasteful. But as Gareth alluded to, we are not the majority anymore. it's a different sport with a different audience. It has grown. They have quietly grown their brand and the brand of the sport. Football is a much bigger sport than it was when I was a kid, when Liverpool would count 33,000 pound average, 33,000 people average attendance in the mid 80s is not bad. And now we complain that a 70,000 seater stadium might not be enough for us. The sport has got much bigger and much bigger. And a lot of people there aren't engaged in the ground. And for them, the idea of seeing Liverpool play Real Madrid every year is fucking nirvana. And that's what we're up against here. I'll shut up in a sec, but I personally don't think this is going to get to the point where it's literally the format they're choosing. I think they're using it as really, they're playing a very, very tough game. I think it'll be decided is there'll be some sort of a power sharing agreement, because I think the big clubs don't like the idea that UEFA and FIFA have held, or UEFA in particular, have held the cards. I think what will happen is it won't get disrupted. We won't see what emerge, the closed shop emerge. We will see not just UEFA's new plan Champions League, but something a bit more along the line towards what the clubs want. I think that we will see some of them get some element of their own TV money. I think that's what they really want. And yeah, I think they'll want to see more of this UEFA coefficient thing in, so they're not kept out of it. Because in England, I'm going to say something as a Liverpool fan, and this is not my, quote, unpopular opinion, but it feels harsh to me. And I, at the end of the day, when you strip past everything, I only care about watching red shirts, right? The fact that we have struggled in the last 30 years to be able to play in this bloody Super Champions League at times galls me, because we're the country with six of the richest clubs in the world, whereas the likes of fucking PSG are in a league with one. Germany are in a league with one. Spain are in a league with two. So they get to be in the Champions League every bloody year anyway. It feels harsh to me that the team with possibly the biggest fan base in the whole fucking world, that Mo Salah and Virgil van Dijk, might not be able to play in the top competition in the world next season because there's too many big teams in this country. That galls me. So I do think there's a case for some correction, but a closed shop and all that bollocks, that's a whole different ballgame.
Yeah, because yeah, just to go back on you on that for a second, Rob, that jeopardy of missing out, though, is part of it, isn't it? I mean, it is. It's the reason I'm interested in this season. Well, it was.
Tonight's game is exciting. Yeah.
Tonight's game, well, it was. I mean, I've almost forgot about it now. Do you know what I mean? But it's like you're looking at the season, you're going, we want to be in Europe, we want to be in the Champions League. But I don't want to just be in there because we're Liverpool. I want to be in there because we've earned the right to be in there. And if we fall off a cliff and don't end up in there, well, tough shit. And you've got to take your medicine and you're in the UEFA Cup. But then you take that on board and you're like, okay, we're going to Ljubljana or we're going to Vladikavkaz or whatever. And there's something good about that.
I love the Europa, don't get me wrong. When people say, oh, I wouldn't want us to be in Europe, I'd rather we fail to get into it. Oh, fuck off. I'd watch Liverpool play anywhere. I agree. Now, my only, that's it's a very small side point. I do resent that, say, the Spanish and one or two of the other countries have four places. And I think England should have six fucking places because there are bigger teams in this league. But the rest of it can fuck off.
Cathy, to come back to you and to again talk about the idea of clubs engaging with fans, clubs engaging with the cities and the communities that they're in. We've all said in recent times that Liverpool have got better at that, that Liverpool have done great things. And Jay, the first thing he said was, you've got to remember that a lot of Liverpool staff, people that work for the club, have done good things and will be feeling very, very disappointed right now. That's the thing for me about this. I think it's fine to talk about the global game like Rob just did and say that it's changed and stuff like that. But Liverpool Football Club isn't just in Liverpool. I want it to be of Liverpool. Do you know what I mean? I want it to be about Liverpool. And I'm sure the Manx would say the same, you know, because as much as we rip United and all the rest of it, I know a lot of their fans and a lot of their fans feel the same way about their football club. And yes, they are Manx. Do you know what I mean? And yes, they've got a global support. Are you surprised that, you know, our ownership are happy to jump in bed with the Glazers, given all what they've done as well? You know, and be sitting there as part of this weird cartel with statements going out from Joel Glazer. It's a bit mad, isn't it?
It just feels like they've learned nothing. You know, it was like Jay was saying earlier about the missteps that they've made and all that sort of stuff. You know, and I get all that, and I think there are a lot of those sort of things that we were prepared to understand and sort of forgive. But this feels to me like they've really learned nothing. I mean, just to come back on that, and as well what Rob was saying, it feels like they want to guarantee us being in this competition, but not to win it.
Yeah.
Because you're not gonna get a run where you're playing, you know, some teams that you can beat. So if you're gonna be playing Man City and Chelsea and Real Madrid every week, I think you're gonna struggle to win it. But the main point for me is as you were saying about the fans and the understanding of that. They make a fundamental misunderstanding about football fans. Football fans, most people support a team because of someone else who supports that team. You know, I always say it's like concentric circles in my mind. Like, and the more people you have in the middle of your core that are absolutely avid fans, that it's absolutely one of the most important things, if not the most important thing in their life, the stronger you are as a football club. And Liverpool have always had the benefits of having probably, I think, the biggest core of fans. They may not have had the best numerical equivalent across the world, but you know, you get these surveys that do, and like Man United would claim however many million fans. That's people who like that brand. That's people who've ticked, that's my favorite club. I've heard of them. I watch them on television in my house in, you know, wherever. And that's completely different from the people who are the core fans, who actually are part of this product that we're selling. You know, and I would have thought they might have learned this from when we had the protest of not having the flags up and stuff like that. You know, I would have thought they would have understood the power of those fans and the importance of those fans. Because if you lose those core and think, well, it's okay, you know, we've got a big waiting list, we'll just replace them with all these other people. You know, I've always loved the fact that we have this incredible mix of supporters at Anfield, and I'm not anti-tourist or any of that sort of stuff. But I had the experience unusually. I normally do sit in my season ticket seats, even for cup games, and once I didn't. And I was surrounded by people who were clearly there for the first time, and it was so quiet around me because no one else knew the songs. People don't sing when they first go to the game. They have to get the confidence. They have to get used to it. They don't even know the words, you know. And if you're prepared to basically just completely shaft that core of fans who were saying, no, this is fundamentally about being in a fair competition and not being guaranteed anything, then you've really misunderstood who's actually going to go see your games. You know, we were already talking about tonight and thinking, oh, shit, like, it doesn't matter. Like, and if you told me in theory, you know, like, oh, yeah, well, you know, whatever happens tonight, we'll still qualify for the Champions League. You'd think, oh, well, that's reassuring to know. But it just makes it pointless. How many pointless games are there going to be in the Premier League? No wonder the Premier League are apoplectic. When you think, well, to be honest, so all you're playing for each year is obviously to win it. That's going to be good, but that's one team that gets a prize. What is the point in a lot of these other games? And I just think that's the fundamental misunderstanding of fans and of people who are that committed, that we will travel the length and breadth of the country, that we will make it really important, you know. People nowadays have many more things in their lives than the so-called legacy fans than we had when we were younger. There's much more competition for their time, much more competition for where they can spend their money, and they will be discerning about it.
Yeah, absolutely.
They will not be like us.
And if you're down in eighth or something like that at a certain point of the season where the title's obviously not on, yeah, exactly. Well,
I'm already feeling like, I don't know, like it's completely changed tonight's game for me. Like. Yeah. There's nothing there anymore.
Do you think it will happen though, Kathy? And I tell you, I agree with you entirely. But do you think it would? They'll get this through, given all the obstacles they've got up against them to do this now.
I don't know. I'm really hoping that it's a poker play, and that it is part of this game. One of the things that makes me think about this actually is partly the fact not one of them have even come out to defend it. With talk in its favour. They've been absolutely hammered in the media, and not one of them will come out to say anything. Their comms Twitter has not said a word. And this sounds really daft, but they've got a really shit logo. It's like, this doesn't look like this doesn't look like a league that is ready to start. Do you know what I mean? Here's what it is. Here's the cup, you know, here's the branding, here's like all of the stuff that goes on with it. And here's how we're going to be more transparent, as they claim, and distribute the money. They've not even said how they're going to do any of that. And if you were thinking that is the one way we are going to convince people, is actually by saying, you know what, we've come up with a new model. You've not even explained what is supposedly the good bit about this. You've just given us the shit bit.
They just hired some Tories and made a crap website, is what I've seen so far.
Jay, I
went on the official Liverpool website today just to read, you know, the piece that they put on there about it. And I just felt, maybe I'm just being a bit daft here, but it was so horrible to see it on there. Do you know what I mean? It was so horrible to see it on Liverpool Football Club's website. But then also as well, there was a banner which was ever-changing at the top as I was reading it, and a screenshot of it, because it said, side by side, in support of each other. Now, we've all had a little moan at times, haven't we? And we are daft. We've got to say we're all a bit daft sometimes. But we've all had a moan about these slogans and these ideas and these marketing things that have been stuffed down our throat at times. well, when you go and do this, this is why we moaned about it. Do you know what I mean? Because it's just empty words now, isn't it?
Yeah, this means
it's
more. Everything they've ever said is now bollocks. Any attempt where even I've been told, you know, I've tried to give them the benefit of the doubt is utter bollocks. Because even if this is a power play, right, they didn't even have the decency to pick the phone up to anyone, to any of you, to the Anfield rap. To tell anyone, say, listen, we need to do this to extract X, Y, Z. But Rob, you know, if this is a power play, I've always thought the European Super League was the bogey, man. Used to say, give us more of what you want, otherwise you get this. I get why they would do that. But they've gone much further now.
Yeah.
It's so much harder to now come back. It's so much harder to now say, we've changed our mind. It's so much harder for Agnelli. They've left the European Club Association. They've resigned their positions at UEFA. They've resigned their positions of influence. Man United and Juventus are not listed on the stock exchange. They have obligations to other people. They have started down a path. They will have agents and players ringing them non-stop. They diminish. Doing this even potentially diminishes, even if it's a power play, even if they change their mind, it diminishes their negotiating power with the broadcasters. Because what does Sky say next time? Well, how do we know in 5 years' time you're not going to do this? How do we know you're not going to do it in a year's time? How do we know you're not going to ask for more? No, they have now overplayed. If this is a hand, they've now overplayed it. And that's what makes it's not a hand. Me think they want to do this.
Well, yeah, but if they threat to chuck them out of the Premier League, is that a hand? Because if that's true, then the clubs can't do this. They can't leave and not be in their domestic competitions.
No, well, can't they? They can't.
What are they left with, though?
Well, what they can say.
What would the Premier League be left with without Liverpool? Yeah, exactly.
The
fear of a Super League, though, Rob, was always, wasn't a change to the Champions League. The fear of a Super League was that they would create a European League and they would
replace
their domestic competitions. So they would now, right, in a way, be able to say, well, we didn't leave. You kicked us out. What they do have in their hand is Rule B7 of the Premier League rules says it requires 3/4 of clubs to vote to kick it out. Well, you've got 6 of them, so you haven't got 3/4. So they're going to literally play a game. I think what they want to do is, I think you're right, I think the Premier League's undervalued. But even if they do this, I think they diminish their impact for money on this. I think, though, even if they stay in their league, even if they stay in the Premier League, why will Sky give them so much money ever again? Why would they? Because the league's decided now. Man City have won the league. Liverpool against Leeds on a Monday night isn't interesting anymore. It's not for the top six. West Ham, we won't be watching West Ham Newcastle anymore. There's no point because it's got no material.
So staying's untenable, isn't it, in a way?
Potentially so. But the damage their relationship, they are seen as pariahs now. So why would you, next time you ring up and say, I'd like to sign this player, why are they going to say, tell you what, mate, I'll make this work. This works for all parties. They're going to say, nah, screw you. You've got all this extra money now. So in a way, that's what makes me think it's a power play. But
yeah,
gone too far in doing it. The bit here, you're coming back to Gareth's point about that statement, is they didn't even have the decency to ring anyone and say, what do you think about how this looks and sound? They didn't tell their staff until 8:40 this morning. They didn't even send it to the staff at the same time as putting on the thing. Their staff found all of this out, like we did as fans. They have and their staff, by the way, just includes players. What is Klopp going to say tonight? That they haven't put no one up, as Cathy mentions, in this statement on the website. Jürgen Klopp is the man who's now going to have to answer the questions tonight. And he's going to be made to look a hypocrite if he goes, I'm fine with it, because of what we know he says in 2019, because of decisions of the owners. What I find peculiar about the money bit, though, just to shift onto that, is Liverpool can't win the arms race against Man City and potentially even against Man United, and can't win it in Europe. And yet they're going to go into battle with those same clubs they can't beat. They could beat the Bayern Munichs of the world, but they're not in this. They could beat the Borussia Dortmund.
That was my point, Jay. I suppose that they've made it harder to win.
Yeah. Man City in the league, if Liverpool stay in the Premier League and enter this European Super League, Man City have more money than Liverpool still. They still have this problem with Man City. And I find it really strange, and this is the bit about if it's a power play against UEFA. This is a thing I personally find offended by. Liverpool Football Club and the owners have never publicly commented on the failings of financial fair play, even though we know it was a fundamental to them buying the club. They've never spoken up against Man City, even though that benefits, one, their business model, and two, the potential for success of this club. Time after time after time, when Liverpool are playing in European finals, we've gone to Liverpool, and I say we, when I was chair of Spurs, we would go to Liverpool and say, the allocation's a joke, getting there's a joke, Kiev's a disaster, it's a nightmare, this. And they would tell us, please don't go publicly, we need to work with UEFA to do this. And yet the owners then want to literally go and have a public confrontation with UEFA.
I think there's a FIFA diddle in this as well. Notice how they've been the tamest in terms of their reaction to this. I think there's a side talk. If we get this through, we'll discuss with you a power share on a World Club Cup, and I think that's the way they'll fill the fixture calendar. I think that could be the side agenda.
But just on,
can I read another quote?
Kathy, I just say this a minute. Just on the governance bit, though, what makes us think these football clubs, looking at the Glazers, looking at Abramovich, looking at Henry, looking at Daniel Levy, looking at Arsenal, looking at Man City, what makes us think them, given their ownership, given the way they behave to their own fans, what makes us think they're going to be any better at governing the game than the Premier League, the FA, UEFA or FIFA? They're just different. They're different noses in the same trough. That's what they are. They're just different. You're just replacing the person, less the system that they're going to do this in.
If it's a power, what they don't understand is this point about, you know, who fans want to actually see their clubs play against their local rivals. That's the biggest games for us. Yes, you know, a game Liverpool, Real Madrid or whatever, you know, can command a big audience and all of that. But the most important matches to fans are, you know, Burnley want to see their game against Blackburn, you know. We want to see our games against all sorts of teams for all sorts of historical reasons, you know. Yeah, and you know, we don't want, if you're just going to play each other at that level, there's no interest in it. And the quotes I'm going to read from their website is, by bringing together the best clubs and best players in the world, the Super League will deliver excitement and drama never before seen in football. I mean, it's just nonsense. What drama is there going to be? What excitement is there going to be when there are no stakes at play?
And Spurs and Arsenal aren't the best football clubs in the world. They haven't even won the European Cup.
Yeah.
Fucking shite.
It just shows to me that's not, none of this is written by anyone who understands anything about football.
No.
This is just nonsense.
It's someone who was working with Boris Johnson and Theresa May, wasn't it? Anyway.
Yeah. It's a statement that would insult the intelligence of anyone who's a football fan.
Absolutely.
If it's a power play by the clubs and it goes through, then they've shown themselves to be self-interested financial people. That's all that they are. If it's something that gets them a bit more power, and it comes back to probably the overseas TV money that's probably irking them more than anything that they can't quite get a grip on, then they're going to have to look like the gang of two-faced people. And the answer's probably somewhere in the middle, isn't it? But regardless of that, regardless of how it does, the way that the fans haven't been involved, and the way that the staff have been informed, even if it's a power play that works, which is, even if it works out, which we all disagree, is for the good of the game and this and that and the other, and they've had to use these underhand tactics to beat these evil organisations and whatever have you, they had no right to put us through this morning. They had no right to put us through that last night. They had no right for us to say to us, right, and I am very angry about this, you know, through the wind and rain. Do you want to talk about that? That's us. That's what they sell. They haven't come to Liverpool because they like the Beatles. They haven't come to Liverpool because they think, oh, yeah, we can get this. It's the personality of the club. All fans should be proud of the personalities of their clubs. Well, ours has got one. And if you want to watch Liverpool on those European evenings, it's awe-inspiring. It's fantastic. Drama. Do you want to beat the drama we've already achieved? The drama that my dad watched against Inter Milan in 1965. The drama of Saint Etienne. The drama of Barcelona. All these things. You can't increase the drama. You can't increase the quality. You can't increase the colour or the excitement. But if this is a game where people are showing their hand, it's now the time for the fans to show theirs.
This is what
the Glazers, we should be in with the Man United fans, and not just the Man United fans, our brothers who were Evertonians, our brothers and sisters at all the different clubs and whatever have you, because we just happen to be the clubs at the top of the tree at this juncture in history. And if their clubs had been here, like they were in 1992, like they were in 1888, the same types of people would be making the same types of proposals and that, and different names, that's all it is. Like Jay's just said there, different, you know, different noses in the trough, that's all it is. What we need to do is get back to what the game's about, what we want it for. Do we want to play our local rivals? Do you want to see a league that's competitive? Do you want to see, you know, people with a chance? Do you want some jeopardy? Do you want to just turn up at Anfield knowing you're going to win 6-0 against most of the teams? No, you don't. You want it to be all those things, but the club our club, and I haven't criticised any of the others, and I'm quite happy to, because they're all equally as complicit involved in this. They had no right to put us through that last night, no right to put us through in the morning, and I demand as a fan, and I talk about myself being a fan of 100 years, going back to my great-granddad, and my lad who's going to keep going along with me. Why aren't we getting a say? Why aren't we consulted? Where is our voice? Well, we have been inactive for too long. There's been some noble people here. There's noble people on here who've done great things. But it's about time we got together. It's about time we got together and did something meaningful. And about time when we come back from this pandemic, and, you know, so many businesses and football, you know, is something that's so important to all of us, that we made a contribution and were recognised as such. And like I say, whatever boycott, strikes and protests and whatever have you, I am all over this. I'm just hoping there's enough anger out there with enough people, and they can get past the tribal thing and just place themselves in what it's really about the commonality that we have as football following fans who want to be able to go about our family lives, go to work, this, that, and the other. And every other Saturday on your half day off, you want to go and watch your team on a fair playing field. And if you ever win anything, it's because you've earned it. And then if you get some special sprinklings of European highlights under the floodlights, it's because you've earned it. And that's what made it special. And that's why winning the European Cups at Liverpool have has been special. It's been against the odds.
Yeah,
with being the most unlikely of winners.
It's about the identity, isn't it, Damien? It's not. It's
100%.
You know that's what gets up my nose. The fact that, you know, look, I've got loads of people tweeting me saying, well, you've always given FSG a chance and you've spoke positively about them at times, and I'm like, well, yeah, because I still believe, and I'm still saying now they've done some good things for the club, yeah. But this is a major fuck-up. And when they've majorly fucked up before, I've called them out on that as well. The tickets, the furlough, all of that kind of stuff. We spoke up about that. But what I object to is the idea that Liverpool now, as a football club, people don't separate it from the owners like I think we do. When people look in, they go, well, that Liverpool's just sticking two fingers up to the rest of the football world. They don't give a shit about the rest of the football world. And that's what I object to, because I want my club to give a shit about the rest of the football world. And I'm a football romantic. Like, I enjoy Liverpool. I love Liverpool. I want Liverpool to win things. But I like romance in football. I liked it when Sunderland came up to the Premier League and were competing at the top of the Premier League for a little bit. They didn't win it. But it was a nice story. It was a nice story that a different club come from somewhere and was able to complete. I loved it going back absolute years, showing the old ass I am here. I loved it when Red Star Belgrade won the European Cup. Darko Panchev and stuff like that.
It says it all for me when Gary Neville said, you know, I don't like Liverpool, they don't like me. But I always thought that was a club with integrity and honesty.
Exactly.
Like, you know, and that's the thing, we know with those rivalries, that the certain clubs and some people that you still respect, and even the people who hated us the most actually admired a lot of things about the club. And it just feels like whatever comes out of this now, they've just destroyed that. They've destroyed the fact that people thought, you know, people were prepared to believe that we were a bit special, that we were a bit different, that we had a soul.
Football's an ecosystem though, isn't it? Liverpool, LFC does not exist in isolation. Yeah. There have been, however many of the 92 league club currently we've played, there have been dozens and dozens of league clubs we've had to play and beat to have the success we've got. That would have been meaningless if it was just because we were the richest. We weren't always the richest. We've been richer than lots of the others at times, but we weren't always that. Liverpool have signed players from clubs in Europe who've improved or been good, or players in England who've come through systems and have benefited from, say, European competition, have benefited from maybe reaching the Champions League and getting that experience, and we've signed them to make us better. We are literally saying we're just going to cut up. Where are they going to sign the players from? What? How does this all work? It does not work in isolation. And I just think there's unintended consequences to this. This idea of no relegation is a closed system. They have not, there is no model for it. They can talk about America, but America has a draft system. Now, there is a danger that this is what the Americans want, particularly, you know, what is believed to be the American ownerships of clubs driving this, that they say, well, look, fine, we can do away with transfer fees. We can do away with this big cost we have to pay. We'll pay them loads of money, but we'll have a draft system and we'll bring this talent. They might have this other ultimate ambition, but that is, again, that will be another change away from football, what we want. What I think the bit Liverpool, and talking about what we can do on this, is they are, I think they've misunderestimated once again the kind of ecosystem that exists within the club. I don't know if people have seen it. Spine Cop 1906 have said, now the flags are out the ground, kind of thing, as far as they're concerned. Now, that's Yeah. That might seem minor to lots of people in that, you know, there's no one in the ground, you can't physically make, but Liverpool made a big deal of having everyone's flag still on the cock while they're not there. They've got that banner, Unity is Strength in the Lower Cameron Road. It is all now meaningless. They've said, and I think they've contacted the club and others have done the same, they want the flags out by the weekend. As far, you know, so Newcastle at home on the telly, they want the flags out, they're not theirs, don't belong to the club, we want them back. Liverpool are creating more bad PR for themselves, they're creating this negative image, because even within our own club, there's an ecosystem of how, you know, we don't always get what we want, it isn't always perfect for everybody, but by and large, in the last few years, it's been pulling in the same direction. And yet, in uprooting yourselves to, you know, and ruining the football ecosystem, you're going to actually damage significantly the thing you've got that makes you highly valuable. And it just seems, maybe they're seeing something we don't, maybe they just are as stupid as we think they might be, but it just seems a huge misjudgment now to put all of that success at this moment in time at risk for something else, that even if you back down, you've damaged it. You've damaged how people view you. You've set the clock back and you've caused all kinds of unintended consequences, that it just seems like, I just can't imagine the thought process they've been going through, and it is missing the bit that they didn't pick the phone up. And I'm not saying to me, you know, that they didn't pick the phone up to Cathy, they didn't ask Damien, they didn't ask someone like Robbo to say, if we do this, what would you think? They didn't even ask anyone that question.
Do you know, that's how it used to work in the old days, was I'd get a phone call, you know, and a lot of us were people who did the flags, all that sort of stuff, that, you know, they'd have a phone call and say, like, well, look, what, this is being proposed, what do you think? There's none of that now. There's just... even if clubs feel like, yeah, you know, if the other five have signed up to this, you know, now we're now at this position where we've got to make a choice and explained it, but they've just made no attempt.
Well, I think that's a great point you just made there as well. That's what's fundamentally wrong with the whole thing. And this is the greed is good culture, isn't it? Imagine if the other five teams from the Premier League said, yeah, we're backing it. Liverpool said, nah, that'll just upset our fans, that we're not having anything to do with that. We're not joining it. You'd have a whole new debate then, wouldn't you? Say, well, hang on a second. We're going to win the next eight Premier Leagues in a row against inferior opposition. But over time, we'll be diluted. And we're just going to write ourselves off as this big noble person who unilaterally on their sword went down on it. Well, obviously, that's no good neither, is it? So this is why I'm thinking about it. It's not in terms of fans looking at it from a unilateral position. Because at that point, this greed is good thing is because everyone's too frightened of missing out. Everyone's too frightened to miss the next big gig. I've got to make sure I'm self-interested. As long as I'm on that train, I'm sound. Never mind who isn't. As long as I'm on it, make sure. Do you know what I mean? And that needs dialing back. Because if it's for the good of the game, this isn't it. That's why those statements are an insult to the intelligence and the integrity of the game that we love.
Rob, you're the only one on this, I think, so far that's mentioned, you know, perhaps a little bit of an elephant in the room about the competitiveness issue that we already have in football. So, you know, Man City not you know, they're not being teeth to FFP and all that sort of stuff. You know, Man City have allowed to run free. You know, their squad is ridiculous. We talked about it on the normal when we're talking about footy shows, and we've said, you know, that they're able to rotate. You know, they were until the weekend in for the shout for a quadruple, et cetera. And so, Is there a counter argument there somewhere? I'm in no way backing this, but what I'm saying is when I look at it and I see stuff like, you know, so top line, the 15 founder clubs shared an initial €3.1 billion. £310
each.
€310 each, which can then be spent on stadiums, training facilities, or to replace lost stadium-related revenues due to COVID. There's also a line in there as well about a cap of 55% of revenues permitted to be spent on salaries and transfers. So there's some weird attempt to say it would be competitive in some way there.
Yeah. There is, I mean, I personally think one of the things that I have not enjoyed during my life in the way that football has become less competitive or competition has been devalued, I have found this, the standing by and allowing the PSGs, the Man Cities and Abramovich to financially dope the competition to be the thing that has viscerally most upset me as a fan, because I thought, they're just by the wave of instant money pushing teams out the way. Now, I know football's unequal and we're richer than Torquay or Derby County, but it was a built process. As Damien and people have talked, we became rich because because we were this team that built up and up and up and became more and more popular. I suppose it's an old money, new money argument to some degree, but I found that the non-competitive instant nature of the gratification they were able to get through their spending to be not just distasteful, just deeply frustrating as a fan. Weirdly, as you say, within this thing, there seems to be a leveling out, an intent to level out within those 15, because they're all going to take the same big revenues out of this, and they're putting their own strictures in place, which I think is a sort of a two fingers to UEFA going, you know what, you tried with FFP, you didn't manage to do it. But, you know, that's judging them as though once they've taken their bubble and taken their toy away and going, oh, aren't you doing well within this parallel universe you've created? Good for you. But it's not a parallel universe the world wants. And I said, I can't quite yet, and maybe my time will come, get as angry as I think Damien is about it, because I just don't believe it. I do think it is as a marker point to the fact that those super clubs have reached a point of frustration with UEFA and where they wanted UEFA to go. I think they've reached a point of utter frustration and they are playing their joker. And I don't think they're stupid. And I think in playing that joker, they've known people are going to not like us for 48, 72 hours, however many days this is going to take. But we've got to try this. We've got to try this. And when we get the result we want and people see that it's not that different or that bad and blah, 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 that those few days of anger will subside and we'll get past that. In the end of the day, we'll have contributed to making the overall thing better and people will move on. I don't know if that's going to be the case. Damien is suggesting, and he may very well be right, that it'll never be forgotten. I don't know. The trouble, the big thing I'm abiding with this is, and I'm not keeping my powder dry exactly, but I'm really not sure how this is going to play out. I'm almost certainly confident it won't play out as literally as that statement suggests.
Yeah, on the competitiveness thing as well, though, what I don't get about it is you build that into your sort of your cell, your shit website, whatever you want, and you say, like, this is going to be there, so this will make this competitive. Because obviously Cathy was rightly saying before, hang on, if you throw us in with them and we're all playing each other twice, we're probably going to win fuck all there. You know, we're just going
to
be...
Well, why should they, though, Gareth, just to be devil's advocate, why should they be better than us? We've won the European Cup, been in two finals in 3 years.
But what I was going to say, though, was that the knock-on effect, that though, to the Premier League, if we're allowed to stay in and all this, is that, you know, these six clubs that are in this Super League get all this guaranteed money and can do what they want and blah, blah, blah. And everyone else is pattered down, so it makes the Premier League less competitive. So the whole, you just mentioned about the whole thing being better. That's the anger for me. This doesn't look like it makes the whole thing better. It looks like you want to spin something that we love into something else, into a new product, into something that makes money. I mean, you've got the likes of Perez saying football is the only global sport in the world with more than 4 billion fans, and our responsibility as big clubs is to respond to their desires. Is it?
That's a really interesting comment. I saw that. That's him more or less saying who they think the market. Their research is that the market is not us. We are not the market. We're being outnumbered and outmaneuvered. And the market, the fans, the real fans in their book, are those worldwide. You alluded to it, and I don't want to disparage people watching on couches, but the FIFA, let's call it the FIFA generation. The FIFA generation aren't as invested maybe as we have. They haven't had the life, they haven't had that lived experience we've had. They've got their own, they've led their own experiences with it. And I think, unfortunately, these big 15 do realise this. And I think that's what Perez is alluding to.
It's like they think that all fans are equal, as I was saying, and they're not. There is something different about the core fans that actually create the atmosphere, as we've been saying, you know.
Everyone here said it,
you know, that's what we are, that's what we're part of, and they don't seem to recognise that. Have they not learned from empty stadiums this season?
Well, by all accounts, no. We've sat in enough rooms, I've been in enough meetings where they've talked about missing fans. I think they just think they can brazen it out. I just think there'll be enough others. I just think that's why everyone will throw the kitchen sink at this. But this idea, you know, they've got fed up with UEFA and stuff like that, then why have they not... I can understand that. I can understand why they might think that, but I'd look back at them and say, well, what have you done? What have you done to call out Man City or PSG if you think that they're doing this? What have you done to call out Chelsea? What have you done yourselves? You are saying, we can't ever win this arms race. Oh, so by the way, we're still going to keep in the arms race with you. It doesn't make sense. What it, the only justification for them, the only gain from them in this is a more valuable asset because they have guaranteed TV rights, you know, up to a certain amount. But the danger of this not happening like they think is it now is worthless. They are the thing I'd be most concerned of if I was Liverpool in this is it's about like when Ian Ayre said the comments he did about Bolton and sharing TV money. He was technically right, but Liverpool shouldn't be the poster boy for this. Liverpool now, all of the articles I've seen talking about this, and not just from Liverpool-based journalists who I've seen, the reaction on social media, the phone calls I've still been getting and passing them on to people as Spirit of Shankly, Liverpool are the image of this. It's pictures of the cop. There's flags outside Anfield now about this already. The flags are coming off the cop. Liverpool are going to make themselves the poster boys to this. For what game? To still lose the arms race against these other clubs in a European Super League, to potentially jeopardise incomes, all this clay, undo all of this hard work. What is? And I'd love them to do this. Come on, come out and say what the game is. Come out and say what the plan is. Come out, own it. Because you are now saying Jürgen Klopp and players tonight have to answer to this. Or you say not and then you keep getting hit over the head. So if you've got a plan, if you're Mike Gordon, you're John Henry, you're Tom Werner, anyone at Liverpool in a senior position, come out and explain it. Come out and tell us what the plan is.
I can explain what they think in their terms the product is and why it will be improved. Let's just look at it, and this is devil's advocate stuff, but I'll tell you the way I think they look at it. We play Everton twice a year, we play Man United twice a year, we play Arsenal, Tottenham, we play them all twice a year, and we take that for granted. They're probably saying to themselves, why don't Liverpool play Barcelona twice a year? Why don't they play Real Madrid twice a year? I know Klopp said, who would want to see that every week? Well, actually, that's not very logical. That's the pinnacle of the players at the pinnacle of the game. It can be argued, why wouldn't you want to see them play off against each other annually? Why should Liverpool play Barcelona how many times in the last 20 years? 3 times, maybe. Feels mad in a certain sense. I think that's how they're looking at it. And they're starting with that sort of going, that sounds like not a bad product. When you see all the best teams, the best players in any other sport, you go, I want to see the best of the best doing this. Why wouldn't that be a wonderful thing? And I think they've worked back from that. And one, they know there's a market, the FIFA market, should we call it. And they've convinced themselves. But then there's all the rest, which we've talked about
here.
But also,
what they've forgotten, Rob, is it's the scarcity of those games and the meaning.
I know, I agree with you.
The meaning of those games. What I think they'll have overestimated, though, significantly, we talked about what they've underestimated here. I think they will have overestimated the size of that market.
I agree, Jane.
Is what they think it is.
Possibly true.
You're going to get into FIFA generations. You're talking about people who want highlights. They don't want to watch 90-minute games. You're talking about people who want star players. You're talking about people who want ultimate teams. You will never win that arms race. So Liverpool go from being, and I'm talking about this, Liverpool go from being a big fish in the pond of the Premier League to potentially being one of the smaller fish in the pond of this. What is to stop Liverpool not being in the next Super League? What is to stop Liverpool, the 10, saying, Liverpool, you haven't finished in the top 10 for the last however many years. You're 11th, 12th all the time. You're out.
They're World League South American teams. The Martians.
You get left behind. So if we don't stand up for the principle of against this, someone will leave us behind one day as well.
Yeah, true. I agree with you, Jay.
Okay, that has been a free show, a free reaction from the Anfield Wrap to the Super League madness. It will continue, it will roll on, and we'll keep on talking about it. There's another free show out there as well with Neil Atkinson talking to Rory Smith from the New York Times about it at length as well. That is free also. But what I would say is if you enjoy our free stuff, please do subscribe and support Fan Media. We shall be talking about this all the way through, whatever happens, whichever direction it goes in. Thanks very much to everyone there for some passionate views about what we've heard so far. Like I say, we shall keep talking about it. We'll keep on making videos, podcasts, talking about it on the website too, theanfieldwrap.com. And you can also download our app and find some of our content on there too. Thanks to everyone. That has been an Anfield Wrap reaction. Sports Social Podcast Network.